You are listening to Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, with your host, Randy Sutton. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement on the America Out Loud Network. I'm your host, Randy Sutton. Thanks again for joining me. We've got lots to talk about, so let's take a walk into the briefing room where I'm going to give you my view from the blue. Thanks for joining me in the briefing room. Now, there's a lot to talk about again today. The first thing I want to talk about is a United States representative, Don Bacon. Now, this individual is from Nebraska, and he's putting forth some very important changes in legislation that I want to talk about. For those of you who are law enforcement, you are aware of LEOSA, the Law Enforcement Officers Safety Act. For those of you who are not familiar with this, the Law Enforcement Safety Act was passed under George Bush's administration. And what this act did, it took the decision-making away from states who made decisions on whether off-duty and retired police officers could carry their weapons concealed. And every state was different, and one state didn't recognize another state's laws, or there was nothing universal as far as protecting retired law enforcement officers. So this legislation was passed, and it was very vital legislation in that it protected retired law enforcement officers and off-duty officers and allowed them to, it created a federal law that said, it is mandated that retired law enforcement officers and off-duty cops can carry their weapons concealed in any state in the union. Now, the statute is very clear. What happens is, if you retire from a police department, you have to qualify once a year, and as long as you have retired honorably and you have your retirement credentials, then you're allowed to carry your weapon concealed in any state. Now, the law was not written very well. There were some issues with it that made it difficult for officers. There were things that weren't taken into consideration, and the problem is that some of the states have done everything in their power to not allow officers what I'm saying is they put forth additional requirements or wording in the statute that limited the retired officers or off-duty officers from carrying their weapons. New Jersey was one of them, of course. I think we talked about that last week about some of their ridiculous laws. And Hawaii is another one. New York. Well, this congressman, Don Bacon, is putting forth amendments this is really important stuff for law enforcement because it literally creates the environment for officers to be safer and also to be a force multiplier in the event of a situation where there is a life and death situation. Now, don't we want trained individuals who have spent literally decades in law enforcement having the ability to intercede in the event that there is a life-threatening emergency? Now, it happens all the time. Retired cops, off-duty cops are often in places where there is an active shooter, where there is a life-threatening situation, and they take action. Now, you don't hear very much of it because, unfortunately, the media doesn't really cover it. But there are many, many instances in which law enforcement who are off duty and also retired law enforcement officers literally are saving lives. This legislation is very important, and I urge you to support it with letters to your congressman or emails. And this is the law called the Law Enforcement Officer Safety Act. Make sure that you contact your your congresspeople and let them know that you support this change, and that they know that people are watching. That's really important here, and it's one of the things that I think will not only make law enforcement officers safer, but also the public itself. Now, let's talk, politics is just, it's always affecting law enforcement in some of the most ridiculous ways. Now, here's a headline for you. The TSA transitions to floppy-eared canines because pointy-eared canines are too scary. Yeah, can you imagine this? Okay, the U.S. Department of Homeland Security Security Administration has made an internal informal decision to swap out pointy-eared canines for floppy-eared canines in an effort to make the security dogs appear less scary. Now, it's sometimes hard to even believe some of the stuff that is coming out of Washington, D.C., and here's another beauty of a decision. So the TSA administrator, David Pekoski, told the Washington Examiner, quote, "We've made a conscious effort in TSA to use floppy-eared dogs. We find the passenger acceptance of floppy-eared dogs to just be better. It presents just a little bit less of a concern, and it doesn't scare the children," unquote. Well, really? Pointy-eared canines? The pointy ears scare people? What kind of snowflake society have we become when we are concerned about the shape of a dog's ears? It makes me crazy to think this. Now, this agency uses approximately 1,200 canines throughout the nation. And, about two-thirds of them are utilized to check for explosives in baggage. And then the remaining screens airport passengers. So, do we really got to... Do we have to take these type of steps because we have a public that is frightened of pointy-eared dogs? These are the decisions that are coming out of Washington. I can't help it. I just it makes me crazy. Now there was a story out of New York. There's a video that went viral. I think it's been seen 4 million times in the last few days. And it was a video taken in a subway platform station, where a lone NYPD cop is seen being attacked by five vagrants. Now, the officer had responded to a call of vagrants who were harassing female passerby and customers. So he responded, and he didn't have the backup. Apparently, they do one-man patrols in some of these areas. So he responds by himself, and he finds five homeless vagrants who, by the way, they used to be cleared out of the subway platforms, but under Snowflake Mayor de Blasio, he doesn't want to do that. He's basically decriminalized everything that the homeless do in an effort to, show his politics. So now these people are living in the subway platforms, and they defecate in them, they urinate in them, they harass people all the time, and the police are virtually helpless because of de Blasio's policies. You can't arrest them. So now they're empowered, and this officer goes to investigate what's going on with the harassment, and it's a frightening piece of videotape in that it kind of like reminds me of The Walking Dead, because this group of, and these aren't old people, they're 27, 32 year old men who choose to be homeless, and they choose to this lifestyle. They are confronted by the officer, and en masse they look like the walking dead walking towards him, trying to punch him. And this officer turns out to be a combat veteran named Officer Ali, Saeed Ali. And this officer is seen taking his expandable baton and using that and using kicks. This guy apparently knows martial arts because he literally takes on all five of these creatures who are attacking him. And he takes care of business. I got to tell you, at one point, one of the vagrants falls onto the train tracks. And at that point, the backup gets there. But it is a scary, scary few minutes where this officer, all by himself, has to fend off five suspects. Now, here's the worst part of the deal. First of all, the reason that this happened is because of de Blasio's policies. Secondly, after this happens, the district attorney refuses to charge these people. He refuses it. This is, you couldn't see a clearer case of an attack on law enforcement officer. And the district attorney, playing the politics that he's playing, he makes a decision not to charge these five men with attacking a police officer. This is the kind of insanity. When I talk about the war on cops, it's much more than just the physical attacks of individuals against law enforcement. It is also the politics. The politics and the policies who are becoming more and more anti-law enforcement. You're seeing a move in a lot of the major cities. We won't even talk about Boston. That's going to be a topic for a whole show. Where they're decriminalizing basically everything. And they're making moves to go away from enforcement of the laws. Now, that puts the law enforcement in a terrible situation. And this officer, who literally because of his skill and courage and bravery, he fought off five people, and then the district attorney just makes an arbitrary decision not even to charge them. So this is the debacles that... that the politics-laden environment has become. And talking about that, let's go from New York now. Let's go back to the other land of fruits and nuts, California. There was a horrible situation in Tulare County. And this suspect went on a killing spree, randomly killed people, and then was in a pursuit where he eventually crashed and died from the pursuit. But here's the real story. And he was a twice deported illegal alien. He was accused of fatally shooting two men, wounding several others, before leading police on a high speed pursuit into oncoming traffic, and was able to commit his random attacks because of the detainer placed on him by ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, was ignored. Yeah, the sanctuary city and sanctuary state of California, they allowed this individual to go free. ICE wanted to deport him. He is a violent criminal. And instead of protecting the people, the system put in place by the governor and by politicians that will not cooperate with ICE is now responsible for the shooting death of two people and the shootings of several more. The sheriff, when this was made public, first he shot an Exeter Farm employee who was unpacking fruit. He then barged into a nearby convenience store, fired multiple rounds, and then demanded $2,000 in cash. A short while later, the suspect fatally shot another individual. Then he descended on a Motel 6, left a woman with a gunshot wound in her chest. All because, you're going to love this, she made eye contact with him. And he followed her into the parking lot and then just began shooting at her. The sheriff at the time, or excuse me, the police chief, was gave a TV interview, and this law enforcement officer, he didn't mince any words. He told it exactly like it was. And it is these politically motivated sanctuary cities and states that refuse to allow law enforcement to cooperate with each other. This is clearly a decision based on nothing but politics, and is costing people their lives. If California doesn't start facing reality, and other sanctuary cities don't start facing reality and allow law enforcement to cooperate with each other, allow these law enforcement agencies to utilize the system to rid our cities of violent offenders in the cheapest way possible, which is by deporting them. And if we don't, we're going to see the body count continue to rise. This is unacceptable. And it is more and more frustrating for law enforcement officers who are taking orders, ordering them not to cooperate with other law enforcement agencies. This is a dangerous, dangerous situation. It's going to continue to get worse. We could talk about this forever, but our time in the briefing room is coming to a close. Let's take a walk now into the interview room, where we're going to talk to this week's guest. For my active duty law enforcement officers, and probably some military as well, if you wear body armor, you want to arrest the odor. Yes, you want to arrest the odor, because we know how nasty it can get. Stinkyvest.com. That is where you get Arrest My Vest Spray. It's military police grade odor eliminating spray. This is amazing stuff. And you don't actually have to use it just for your vest, although it's made specifically for that. It is all natural. It has no harsh chemicals, but it's good for basically any odor eliminating at all. It's safe on your Kevlar. It is really amazing stuff. And you know how uncomfortable it can get, how hot those vests are. So check it out, stinkyvest.com. And it is the technology of odor-absorbing molecules that makes this such an amazing product. Check it out, stinkyvest.com. If you are one of my active duty law enforcement officer listeners, and you are like most of law enforcement, and you work extra jobs, you work the security job, the traffic jobs, most of the time you go through your own agency to do it. But there is another option as well, which can also lead to additional work assignments. Go to offdutypoliceofficers.com. These are my friends at law enforcement specialists, and they are based out of Arizona, but they are in most of the states in the United States, and they assist you in getting those extra work assignments. The security jobs, the traffic jobs, and they work with your agency so that you're protected as well. So, and also, if you're one of my listeners who actually needs off-duty police officers to work security or to work extra jobs in traffic or whatever, you can contact them as well. So go to offdutypoliceofficers.com. That's offdutypoliceofficers.com, and see about getting some extra work assignments. And they are great people. I know them very well, and they are some good folks. Or you can call them 1-888-572-2442. That's offdutypoliceofficers.com.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutloud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming, from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. news blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
I have a very special guest with me in the interview room of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. Her name is Iris Folsom, and Iris has been actively involved in supporting law enforcement departments and individual officers through her many charitable events, and her processes are really interesting. She is the originator of a campaign called Operation POP, Protect Our Police, and she raises money that assists officers with safety equipment, vests, tactical equipment, etc. And she is a tireless supporter of the American law enforcement officer. Iris, thank you so much for being on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement.
Thanks for having me, Randy.
You're doing some amazing things. You've dedicated a large part of your life to helping law enforcement officers in a bunch of different ways. First of all, tell us a little bit about your history and why you have felt it necessary to take up this challenge.
Well, I grew up around law enforcement. My dad was a paramedic for most of my life. My mom's friend was her best friend was the sheriff. So I was always around law enforcement growing up. I have always have just had a true passion for, you know, obviously a lot of my friends are law enforcement officers and stuff. And I've had some friends that were injured on the job. And my daughter came to me a couple years ago and said, "Mom, I'm going to be a canine handler." And I decided at that point that, you know, I would get her involved with some canine teams and that kind of stuff so that she could follow her dream. Well, through all of that, we found out that most of these departments are like severely underfunded and just don't have like basic safety equipment that they need. And so during this time of helping these departments get things just as simple as Narcan kits for their canines, we, you know, found that there was just such a bigger need. And in the last couple of years, I've actually had two friends that were shot in the line of duty. Luckily for them and for me, I guess too, they are going to make it. I mean, they survived and they're back to work and that kind of stuff. But I just started taking a look at like safety equipment for them. Why do they not have adequate vests? Why do they not have, you know, stuff that they need to be able to survive something like a shooting? And it just grew a passion in me that, you know, hey, we need to get these officers who protect us the stuff that they need to protect them.
Well, and that's, you couldn't be more right. And it's a very unfortunate set of circumstances that there are many police departments in the country that do not provide their officers with the proper safety equipment, with the proper vests. Some even require them, the officers, to share the vest, and that's not exactly a pleasant thought, right, in and of itself. So you've taken...
No, nobody stops to think about that.
Yeah, I know. You've done a lot of different campaigns. Give us some examples of how you work and how your organization realizes who has these needs, and then what do you do in order to fulfill those needs?
So what we do is people get referred to me all the time because I'm a huge word of mouth kind of company, I guess. In 2017, I started Not Your Normal Fundraiser, which is my fundraising company. So basically, we do fundraising for law enforcement. We go out and we do different campaigns. We've done softball tournaments. We've done current humanity tournaments. We've done things as simple as like masquerade balls, memorial balls, black and blue balls, just different campaigns to bring the community together to raise money for the law enforcement officers. We rally the community and we're like, hey, we've got to protect these guys. I need, you know, I can't do it by myself. I need your help. And they, you know, they always come together with us and we raise the funds. And officers come to me all the time and they're like, hey, we need something as simple as duty weapons. I have departments that they have to provide their own service weapon. The department just can't afford to issue them one. And so they come to me like, you know, they start talking to their friends and they see it on Facebook and, you know, so they'll come to me or I reach out to them. I'm like, hey, if you ever need anything, here's my name, here's my number, give me a call. We could see what we can do to help. And then, of course, it's huge word of mouth. You know, one department's like, hey, she did this for me, so you should call her too. And so that's right. A little bit how that all goes on.
Well, you know, I know that you've done some really innovative, different kinds of fundraisers. You know, generally speaking, you think of a fundraiser, fundraising dinners, there's entertainment, that kind of thing. But you don't do a cookie cutter approach here. You look at all kinds of different types of fundraisers in order to get that money. So I know that a couple of them have been some pretty crazy ideas. One of them that I just love is one that I heard about, the donut truck pursuit.
The Donut Bandit campaign.
The Donut Bandit campaign. Forgive me, I didn't get the name right.
So it is a big campaign, and I can't talk about it too much because it's still all in the works. But basically, we're taking
a little secret going on.
No, it's in the works. It's gonna launch early 2019. We're taking a donut truck. We're stealing a donut truck and going on a high speed chase. Who doesn't want to see a donut truck being chased by the cops? Come on.
I can't imagine a person that would not enjoy that.
So there's a lot more.
And how do you raise money like that, though?
Well, that's part of the secret. I can't tell you right now.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll have to come on after this event takes place.
So basically, the donut bandits all get arrested, and then they have to be bailed out of jail. And so that's how we raise the money.
Got it.
Bail the donut bandits out of jail, and there's a huge production behind it. It's going to be. It's a couple weeks long. It's not just, you know, and we're getting sponsors for it. We go out and we get into the community and we go to your, you know, your mom and pop shops. We go to the banks. We go to these, you know, different agencies, you know, and stuff. And we get sponsors behind it too. Hey, come out, sponsor, you know, your local law enforcement. They give us donations. They give us sponsorships, you know, t-shirts, like whatever. And we're in the works right now working with doing that for the Donut Bandit campaign. And my slogan for Not Your Normal Fundraiser is partying with a purpose. We want to have fun. We want people not to just go like, this is just another one of those dinners that you have to go to. No, we want them to come out. We want them to have fun. We want them to, you know, enjoy themselves. And we want them to come back every year for it. And so we've done, like I said, we've done all-you-can-eat barbecues with all-you-can-drink beer. You know, and we've provided the taxi, well, not taxis, but Uber ride home, basically. So that way, you know, everybody comes out and they just have a good time. And so through Not Your Normal Fundraiser, we started the campaign Operation POP, which is Protect Our Police, where we're doing more of the safety gear for them, tactical vests, that kind of stuff.
Right. That's and you're not, I know you're based out of Colorado, but you're not simply doing this in one state. You're doing this all over the nation.
All over the country. If there's a need for it and they call me, I go. So it's, you know, I'm working with agencies right now in Tennessee, Mississippi, Florida, North Carolina, South Carolina, Illinois, Texas. I have one in Michigan.
You're a busy woman.
Yeah, so it's a lot of behind the scenes work.
Give me an example of one of your more memorable campaigns, something that was a little out of the ordinary that you enjoyed doing and successfully raised some money for.
Well, the one that's the most memorable is we did a Cards Against Humanity tournament. And I don't know if you've ever played Cards Against Humanity, but that's not really a game that I would like play with my mother.
Okay. explain to me and to my listeners, just what is Cards Against Humanity?
Oh, Cards Against Humanity is a card game that kind of, it's just, how do you describe it? It's a card game that you play, and the worse that the cards are, you match cards. So it says something on a card, and then you have to match another card to the saying on the first card. And the crazier it is, the better. And it gets pretty out of control. It can get pretty vulgar. It's against humanity, basically. There's some times that we've played that game that I felt like I just needed to go to church.
I can't think of a better game to assist law enforcement officers.
And I was like, nobody is going to show up for this game. Nobody's going to do it. I was like, I don't want to play with these people because I don't know them. They did. We raised a successful amount of money, and we were able to donate the money to a campaign that we currently had going. And I was just like, I couldn't believe it. At the end of the day, I was like, I can't believe that this really was that, like, great. But a lot of people, like anybody in law enforcement too, cops have a different sense of humor than most people.
Very much so.
If you don't understand cop humor, you probably don't have a lot of cop friends.
Exactly.
So it was a very tense situation. It was for an officer who was injured. So it was kind of a tense situation anyways. We were all there to support this officer who had been injured and all that kind of stuff. And we just, you know, and it ended up being like everybody was able to let loose and kind of let their hair down, although most of them don't even have any hair, but, you know, everybody was able to cut up. And at the end of the day, we all walked away. We had had fun. We had, you know, let loose and kind of just de-stressed a little bit. And it's kind of fun to see, you know, who's going to come up with the craziest cards.
It sounds like a great way to spend some time and also for a great cause.
Don't know that I would do it again.
That's not back on the list of next campaigns, huh?
If somebody requests it, we might do it. But these officers that were involved, I knew the majority of them. So I don't know that I would do it with another agency that I didn't know very well. But it's a fun game with your friends.
It sounds awesome. So when you get these, most of this is word of mouth. Do you have an informational website that people could take a look at?
I have a website. It's called NYN Fun. So it's N like Nancy, Y like yellow, N like Nancy, F like Frank, U N like Nancy. nynfun.com. It's not a very great website because I'm so busy I just don't have time to keep up with it most of the time. You can go on there and look up Operation POP, which is Protect Our Police. We also have Instagram. It also has our big Raptor truck on there that we're currently doing. We have a big campaign right now that we're raising money. We're raffling off a 2017 Ford Raptor that was donated to us. It was a feature truck out in SEMA in 2017. And for those who don't know, SEMA is a big car show out in Las Vegas. You know what it is.
I surely do.
Yeah, it's a huge car show out in Vegas. You have to be the best of the best to go into that car show. And it was a feature truck. And it was donated to Operation POP so that we were able to raise money to be able to raffle this truck off and be able to provide the safety equipment and stuff to law enforcement officers.
So let's talk about this particular campaign, because I find it very interesting. So an individual or a business donated a custom truck to you for the purpose of raffling it off and donating the money to, is it to a specific law enforcement agency or group?
No, I have gotten some agencies involved. And they have, we're using the truck to raise money for them. So they get people, like, we have events, and they, I go down there with the truck, and then we do an event, like a big, like the last one we just did was a big car show, out in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And then we, you know, it was a car show at a Toyota dealership, and we went, people came, they bought tickets to the truck, and all of that money I'm donating back to the agency once the truck raffles. And then the rest, so like I've got, you know, for the other tickets that are bought that aren't designated to an agency, we will use that money for other agencies that need equipment and stuff like that.
That's awesome. And, you know, how does that work, though? I mean, this is a national campaign. How do you get people to, you know, from my state, from Nevada, say, how would they know about this raffle, and then how would they participate?
It's on Facebook. It's on Facebook. It's on my website, nynsun.com. And people, it's a big word of mouth thing too. We've done some advertising. We've done, you know, it's been out all over Facebook. We've been traveling the country with it.
How long has this campaign, how long have you been, doing this particular campaign?
Since September. We launched it in September, mid-September, and it'll go till March. We were trying to get it done by the end of the year, but it looks like it's going to go a little bit further in. So we're going to do it in March after I get the Donut Bandit situated.
I see. Well, that's a long commitment. And do you know how it's doing so far as how much money it's raised?
It has raised roughly about $140,000 so far.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
So we're hoping to get to 2,500 tickets sold before we raffle it off. It's actually in our disclosure that we need to get to 2,500 tickets. So I can use this truck for any agency that calls me and says, hey, bring your truck down here. Let's do an event. People can buy tickets to the truck. People don't even have to come to an event. They can just go onto the website and buy a ticket to the truck. And then they can go on when they go in to purchase their ticket, there's a line that says, what agency do you want this donation to go to? And they just put in, so say they put, you know, Las Vegas Metro in there. And then at the end of the campaign, I'll take that money and I'll just cut a check to Las Vegas Metro.
Wow, that's a big bookkeeping thing there. You have 2,500 tickets sold, and you're looking at each ticket.
No, I need to sell 2,500 tickets.
Okay, so say you sell 2,500 tickets.
Okay.
And if I put a police department, and I say I want my donation going there? Is that how you work it?
I do. It downloads into a report, and then so on the report it'll tell me who it goes to. And if they don't designate anybody, then it's my pool to,
right.
You know.
Right.
So like, no, if I have who is trying to raise, say, $6,000, and they're at $5,500, well, I will just, you know, donate the other $500, for example.
You know, I love this so much. So for my listeners, I'm going to announce this right now, that my new organization, thewoundedblue.org, has just received its IRS approval, 501c3, and I would love to work with your organization to help us raise money for injured and disabled police officers across this nation who are in need of services and help.
We would love to be involved in that campaign.
Well, then we will make that happen. And for my listeners, take a look at thewoundedblue.org. That's our website. And we'll soon be taking donations over that website as well. But in the meantime, you also are involved in some other very interesting, helpful activities, including training and giving therapy dogs to law enforcement officers who are suffering from post-traumatic stress.
We do. I also own or have founded the, it's called Rescue View. We take rescued dogs, bomb dogs, whatever we can make this dog. And we donate them to veterans, law enforcement officers, police departments who need therapy dogs, fire departments who need therapy dogs, that kind of stuff. We raise the money to be able to pay our trainer, of course, and to house the dog and feed the dog and all that kind of stuff. And then free of charge to the officer or, you know, the veteran or whoever needs it. We've done personal protection dogs for domestic violence victims as well. And so we donate these dogs to them so that can give them that, their peace of mind back, or help them with their PTSD. We don't do service dogs. We can do like basic stuff for service dogs. But, you know, PTSD, their grounding techniques, that kind of stuff.
This is something that I find absolutely fascinating. You know, now that, post-traumatic stress injury is becoming more and more understood and accepted as a legitimate issue, we're seeing more and more innovative techniques shall we say, therapies that are truly making a difference in the lives of these men and women who are suffering. And I believe that a dog can play a huge therapeutic role. Can you give us any background, any stories that where you have seen this in action?
I have seen, well, the personal protection dogs that we've done for the domestic violence victims have given them their life back. They were I had one woman who was absolutely terrified to leave her home. I can't really go into details about her situation, but she basically, the abuser was kind of in the wind. Everybody was looking for him and she was terrified that he was going to show up and kill her. And to the point that she lost her job. Like, she wouldn't leave her house. Like, she was terrified, absolutely terrified. And we were able to train her a very, very crazy Malinois, a Belgian Malinois, who needed somebody, needed a home, needed, you know, she needed a lot of training. But we were able to get her that training and get her trained to be this personal protection dog and just give this woman her life back. And she takes that dog everywhere with her. And who would kill somebody if, you know, she needed her to? I mean, obviously, we don't just do this for anybody, but she was literally able to get her life back. She takes the dog with her to work. She takes the dog with her to Walmart, and the abuser is still out there somewhere. But she has that peace of mind that if he tries to come for her, her dog will protect her.
That's really an amazing story. How about for the post-traumatic stress, the therapy dogs that you have given to law enforcement officers?
So I haven't, I don't have a law enforcement officer yet. I have a lot of veterans who have PTSD dogs.
Okay.
They do, so we have one who has really, really bad nightmares, and he literally goes into cold sweats, fights in his sleep, all kind of stuff. Just bad, bad nightmares and stuff from PTSD. And we were able to learn what his grounding techniques needed to be, and we were able to teach that to the dog, to where the dog will literally climb onto his chest in the middle of the night when he's having nightmares and stuff. And wow. That grounds him enough to bring him out of the nightmare, to bring him back into reality and, you know, wake him up. And I mean, I don't know. Have you ever come home from a bad day at work and had your dog just curl up in your lap and then you're just like, oh my God, nobody else wants me. So they're just dogs of themselves are just therapeutic. You know, they nobody's going to love you more than your dog.
Sure.
And so having that comfort of having your dog, especially for like this one veteran, you know, where the dog is sleeping on his chest, he wakes up, he's safe, he knows he's good, he can pet his dog, and then eventually he's able to go back to sleep because he knows he's safe. He knows he's back in reality. He's not in that war zone anymore.
That's I can't tell you how much I am impressed by not only your drive to help those that are you know deeply in need, but also your innovation in the various activities that you do and the techniques that you utilize to basically play a role in the lives of other people. You know, what's in the future? I know you got some future plans.
So I will continue to do Operation POP, Protect Our Police. I will continue to do that. I have a lot of agencies out there that need tactical vests, any type of safety equipment. I just recently teamed up with the Boss Legacy, Inc. They're also on Facebook. They do retired canines. So you have a canine who comes down with cancer or is sick or whatever. A lot of times the departments just can't afford to fund their treatment. And so as horrible as it sounds, the department will retire the dog on the spot because they just don't have the money. And now it's the handlers. It's on the handler to get that dog his treatment, you know, and this is their partner, and they're faced with a decision of, hey, do I just pay the $10,000 to get this dog, you know, the chemotherapy that it needs or whatever the case may be, or do I put the dog down? And a lot of them, it's, you know, it's their partner. It's their child.
Oh,
it's,
absolutely.
You know, and so they, I don't know about you, but I don't have $10,000 laying around. So what do you do? Well, the Boss Legacy, they had Canine Boss, and they took on his medical bills and all of that. Well, Tom Sweeney was his handler, and he was working overtime and just, you know, crazy, killing himself to be able to keep his dog, to give him the life he deserved and the treatment that he needed. I mean, that was his partner, his hero. And he has dedicated himself to, hey, I don't want anybody else to have to go through this. Because, you know, he was able to keep his dog alive for 2 more years. Quality of life, you know, it was great. And he was able to keep him alive for 2 more years. And so that him and his family sat down and they were like, we've got to help other officers in this situation. And I have a friend who personally had the same thing happen. You know, his canine came down with cancer and they retired him. And then all the medical bills were on him. And he's still paying those credit cards off.
You know, it's interesting because the... It's a terribly unfortunate reality that it's happening to the dogs, but it's also happening to the officers. That's the whole reason that we've created the Wounded Blue, is because many of these police agencies simply abandon their officers as well. So I really applaud the efforts to get treatment for these retired canines who have served so honorably. Perhaps I'll reach out to that gentleman and have him on the show as well, because his story sounds fantastic.
Gosh, they're the greatest people.
Yeah, they sound well. People that love animals are generally speaking really good people,
right?
So we're approaching the end of our time together. Once again, if people want to, A, reach out to you because they have needs as far as law enforcement goes, or they want to donate, how do they do that?
Well, they can donate on our website. It's the nynfund.com. So N like Nancy, Y like Yellow, N like Nancy, F like Frank, U, N like Nancy.com. Just go to the support section. They can donate there. If they have a specific agency in mind that they'd like the money to go to, they can type that into the notes. They can reach me at the same nynfund.com. You can reach me on Operation Pop on Facebook, or you can give me a call. My office number is 719-304-4645, or you can email me at operationpop@yahoo.com.
Well, that covers pretty much all the bases.
I'm pretty reachable.
Well, I want to thank you for everything that you do for law enforcement officers around this country, and also, you know, tell you that I think that you're leaving an incredible legacy. You're leaving a legacy of kindness, of generosity, and of literally touching the lives of these men and women who are serving our nation, and possibly even saving their lives by providing safety equipment through Operation Pop. So, Lord Iris Folsom, I want to thank you for being on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement.
Thank you, Randy, for having me.
I want to take a moment and tell you about the books that I have written and are available on Amazon.com. My first three books were all law enforcement related, and they were stories. My first was True Blue, Police Stories by Those Who Have Lived Them, followed by A Cop's Life, and then the third, True Blue to Protect and Serve. My latest book came out just in September. It's called The Power of Legacy, Personal Heroes of America's Most Inspiring People. And this was an amazing book for me to put together. They are the stories of people throughout this country, people who have done amazing things with their lives, about who their personal heroes were and how they inspired them. This is a book that I hope will touch the lives of people all over this country. If you get a chance, check it out, Amazon.com. It is The Power of Legacy, Personal Heroes of America's Most Inspiring People.
I'd like you to meet Susan Price, Gold Star mother and weekly columnist on America Out Loud. Susan, as a Gold Star mom, what does patriotism mean to you?
Taking part in America at a larger scale of all the issues taking place today. Our blood is red, white, and blue. Patriotism to me means taking a stand and let your voice be heard.
Speaking of which, there's an old saying that you either get involved in politics or politics will get involved with you. So when we say, let the silent voices be heard, how do we turn the tide of ignorance in the world today?
Wow, and how profound is that? We get out there, we let our voices be heard, we educate our children.
As a weekly columnist on America Out Loud, Susan, you're sort of like an investigative reporter. Or sometimes we call that in the business, like a dog with a bone. So what is your ultimate goal with your weekly column on America Out Loud?
The one goal that I have in mind is to rise the consciousness of the subject at hand, especially those who are clueless and have no idea that there is a problem in the first place. That's making a difference.
Our goal is simple, to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world. It's to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. America Out Loud. Welcome to the new era in communications.
End of Watch with Randy Sutton.
Each week on Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, we honor those men and women of the profession who have made the ultimate sacrifice, given their lives in the line of duty. As this year comes to a close, it's been a deadly year for the American law enforcement officer. 147 officers have lost their lives in the line of duty, a substantial increase over last year. Unfortunately, I have two names to read this week. The first is Detective Deirdre Megdot of the Louisville Metropolitan Police Department in Kentucky. Detective Deirdre Megdot was killed when her patrol car was struck by an impaired driver while conducting a traffic stop on I-64 between 4th Street and 6th Street in downtown Louisville just after 2 p.m. Her vehicle was stopped in the right lane with its emergency equipment activated when it was struck from behind by a Metropolitan Sewer District tractor trailer. The patrol car was pushed into the vehicle she had stopped and became engulfed in flames. Detective Megdot was trapped inside. The driver of the tractor trailer was charged with driving under the influence and murder of a law enforcement officer. Detective Megdot had served with the Louisville Metro Police Department for 7 years. She is survived by a young son. And Detective Deirdre Megdot died on Monday, December 24th, 2018. The next officer to die in the line of duty this week is Corporal Ronel Singh of the Newman Police Department in California. Corporal Ronel Singh was shot and killed while conducting a vehicle stop at the intersection of Merced Street and Eucalyptus Avenue shortly after 1 a.m. Approximately 3 minutes later, he called in, shots fired. Responding officers found Corporal Singh at the scene, suffering from multiple gunshot wounds. He was transported to a local hospital, where he succumbed to those injuries. The subject he stopped fled the scene and remains at large. Corporal Singh had served with the Newman Police Department for 7 years. He previously had served with the Merced County Sheriff's Office and the Turlock Police Department. Corporal Ronel Singh, Newman Police Department, California, End of Watch, December 26, 2018. May they rest in peace. Thank you so much for tuning in this week to Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement, with me, your host, Randy Sutton. Couple things before we say goodbye. First of all, check out my books on Amazon.com. My latest one, The Power of Legacy, Personal Heroes of America's Most Inspiring People, came out a few months ago, and you can find it there along with all my other books. Also, Facebook. Check me out on Facebook, The Voice of American Law Enforcement. That's where you will find me. And if you're a Twitterer, LT, at LT Randy Sutton. So once again, thank you guys for tuning in to Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement.